listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 51, and I am your host, DJ Chuang, and I have to check in with you. I want to get this episode out the door, and it's taken me longer than a week. I've set up with a new home office for my new job, and It's a nice place to work, I'll give you that, but getting my microphone situated and to hit a time when the house is quiet has been rather evasive and elusive, because I live in a condo and it's a very open structure, and the home office is actually on the second floor in the little hallway right outside of the master bedroom. And it overlooks the living room, and the stairs are there to the left, and so there's this big echo. And so what happens is, if there's anybody in the house, the sound just bounces and echoes, and basically I need to have no one in the house. I need to have a focused time slot to record the podcast. And being summer, that is rather elusive because I am married and I have a 16-year-old son. And we have quite a bit of activity, even though it is summer. And to hit the time when I'm home alone and they're not home, it just hasn't quite worked out. And so today, I found this new audio production thing called Auphonic. I found this new app called Auphonic. And it is amazing. So I'm recording this podcast, at least the intro and the outro, on my Samsung Galaxy 3. No extra microphones. And actually sitting in my car, because actually the acoustics in this car are pretty good. I'm quite impressed. And I think with the post-production processor that comes with Auphonic, you'll be quite impressed that the acoustics and the audio quality is pretty good, almost as good as my higher-end microphone that I use for most of my intros and outros. So this is the audio recording that I'm making from inside my little car. But this is a podcast about conversations with church leaders about social media. So let's cut to the topic at hand. I mean, once in a while, we will spill over into the tech matters. And for those of you that are new to this podcast, and even the ones that have been listening for some time, this is a labor of love. It is a outflow of my desire for ministry and for this conversation to carry forth to the ends of the earth so that we can learn from other church leaders that are using social media and how are they doing it. Get a behind-the-scenes look, get a heartbeat of their thinking and philosophy of why they do what they do, and what kind of results have they been getting. You know, that's what we want to share here, not just a list of great ideas or possibilities. There's plenty of other places for that, and I'm happy to throw out ideas too, but I think what's more helpful is real-life examples of how churches are actually using social media. And we can learn from those real-life examples. So one of the things that I've been just beginning to research is churches that are effectively using Instagram. And there's about a dozen of those that I've found with over 1,000 fans or followers. And just looking at the example of the photos that they put up is very a good learning point. But these tend to be churches that have tens of thousands of people. So if a church has 10,000 people and only 1,000 followers on Instagram, is that really considered a successful engagement? Is that really a good audience? You know, you'll have to gauge that. But unless all 10,000 were on Instagram, you don't have that full engagement that you do when you have a worship service, whether it's worship music or the sermon, where all 10,000 do hear it. An Instagram account with just 10% of your church attendance may be significant if you're reaching a particular demographic, that's the 10%, but it's not reaching the whole church. So you have to factor that in into how you use your social media engagement, especially when you're on channels that don't reach the entire church. And as I'm recording this episode, it is the week when Instagram has released video in addition to its photo feeds. And so the iOS app and the Android app both launched. And in the first day, the first 24 hours, over 5 million videos were uploaded. And just the volume of content that's being generated through video on Instagram is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I think it's a good case in point that having more people rather than just having a good technology is going to win in the end. And that's my projection for what might happen in the cage fight between Instagram and Vine. See, the thing with Vine, you have to do this extra sign-up thing, and it has to tie into Twitter. And there's just too many steps to make those things connect. And the viewing thing is another app that you got to jump into. Whereas Instagram, I mean, millions and millions of people are using Instagram for photos already. And to add an extra feature for video, very, very handy. I've watched a few of those. One of the little things I've realized is the iOS app is all ready to go. Just like when Instagram started, it was an iOS-only app, and Android came maybe a year or a year and a half later. The Android app that I have, again, I'm using a Galaxy Samsung 3, the most popular Android phone. The Android app for Instagram does not yet record video. Now, on paper, or on the screen, it says Android 4.1 and above, and I'm running 4.1.1, and it is not recording video. A little disappointed, but I can watch videos, so a lot of room for creativity and a lot of opportunity for engagement if your church audience or the people your church wants to reach are on Instagram. A huge opportunity as video is rolling out. When I finish my research on the Instagramming churches, happy to share that with you here at the Social Media Church. Since this is a conversation, I want to ask you one special favor. I really want to hear your feedback. Now, I'm getting somewhere between 100 and 150 downloads of each episode. So there's quite a number of you that are listening and subscribing to this podcast, and I want to say a personal word of thank you. Thank you again for listening to the Social Media Church podcast, and this being episode number 51, I'd really like to hear how you are listening to these podcasts, and I need you to add a review and a rating on the iTunes store. So you'll have to do that at your desktop. The iOS apps don't quite support that yet. Not sure when and if they will. I believe that's correct. So add your rating and review on the iTunes entry, especially if you are using iTunes to subscribe to this podcast. And if you aren't subscribed yet, click on the iTunes button there at socialmediachurch.net. And I just had an aha moment this week. You can call in your comments if you're on the go as you listen to this podcast. Just give me a quick call, leave a voicemail message at our hotline. The listener hotline number is 949-354-3216. I'd love to hear how you are listening to these podcasts so I can be adapting to your listening environment. And just as I shared with you my recording environment, would love to hear how you are listening to these podcasts. And my aha moment was you can even text in your comments. So the number I've got set up for the hotline, you can even text to it. So if that's more convenient for you, you're listening on a mobile device, and you can take a moment to save the hotline number. So when you have that spark of innovation, a question, a story, a comment, something you want to text in directly to me, use the number 949-354-3216 and text in your comment. All right? I would really, really appreciate that. Okay, so all 100 of you listeners to this episode of the podcast. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And thank you for texting or calling in with a comment about how you're listening to this podcast and what's been most helpful to you. And if you've got a question you want to ask, shoot it my way and I'll find somebody that can answer it if I can't answer it myself. Or I'll share with you my opinion and also get our special guest to weigh in as well. For this episode, our special guest is Summer Joy Boone, who is the social media director at Church of the Glades. And it's a fun-loving church and very social media active. And so I really wanted to connect with her. She comes highly recommended by a number of people on Twitter. So this is a conversation I recorded almost a month ago, so I can't remember all that we talked about. So I'll add a note in the show notes at socialmediachurch.net to describe the topics that we hit upon. But for those of you that are just listening, I'm just going to switch tracks. DJ Chuang here. I'm with Summer Joy Boone, who is the Director of Communications and Social Media at Church of the Glades. Yeah, I'm guessing that's near the Everglades. Is that right?
Church by the Glades. We're actually right. We are adjacent to the Everglades. So we have our building, and then there's the expressway, and then on the other side is the Everglades. So we're literally right on it.
And how do you handle the alligators when they come to visit?
Haven't seen one, not close to me. Driving across Alligator Alley, I've seen tons, but not in my close proximity. Apparently there's one that lives in my canal, but I've yet to see it, and I'd like to keep it that way.
Well, I was thrilled to hear about your work at Church of the Glades, and there aren't too many church staff members who get to have social media in their title. So I'd love to hear about your role with Church of the Glades. So tell us about what you do there, especially with social media.
Right. So we would be considered a large church, and a large church with a small staff. And so because of this, we're always looking to leverage different types and forms of communication. How do we market ourselves? How do we get ourselves out there without having to typically always do traditional media, billboards and ads and stuff like that, because it can be pricey and, you know, you're really just kind of splashing your name out there instead of really kind of building value into your advertising. And so that's one thing that we are really working at doing. And, you know, for us being a small staff, I wear many, many hats. And so social media is, my title would be director of social media, but, you know, I do handle and work on lots of other things, which is only possible because we have, you know, they're throwing the term out, you know, being a social business, not just having a siloed social media department. And I'm truly blessed to have what I would consider to be a social organization, a social business that flows from the top down, which makes my job, you know, in that area a lot of fun. So.
Well, Church of the Glades is a unique culture. I mean, you really foster this authenticity and honesty. So how do you portray that online, and how do you, let's drill down a little bit. What's your social media content plan and engagement look like?
Right. So it, like I said, it starts at the top down. Our senior pastor, he handles all his own accounts. So I don't tweet for him. I don't Facebook for him. I don't Instagram for him. He's all hands on, does it himself. And that alone in itself fosters transparency and allows us as a staff to follow his lead. So we can kind of check our boundaries. You know, what can we say based on what he's saying and whether or not we kind of align with that. The first thing that I did when I started was to create as a policy, because I believe that boundaries are so important. Not because we want to set rules, but if you don't have them, you know, one of two things is going to happen. Your team will either freeze because they don't know what they can do, or they'll just go crazy and do everything you don't want them to do. So we created a boundaries sort of list for them. And then, you know, our content is basically, we like to see what, obviously, photos, videos, all that stuff. Our video production team is amazing. I can't speak highly enough of them. Unfortunately, I don't have anything to do with that. Just take their, but our video team is highly talented, and so people love the videos we produce. So that's one quick, easy share, you know, that we put out there into our platforms. Our pastor loves Instagram and Twitter. And so we try to kind of follow that lead, even though the higher percentage of our people really live on Facebook. So if I want to get information out, that's the first place that I'll go. And then I always follow up with Twitter, Instagram, things like that. We found that to be most effective. If I'm giving them content with a TA, there's no call to action on it, I get very limited response. And we just kind of tested out a few different areas in that. So if I post some content that I think is share worthy, obviously you don't want to put anything on there if you don't think it is. If you're putting something on your Facebook page and it's not worthy of sharing, you probably don't need to have it up there. That's kind of my rule of thumb in that. But a lot of times you find that if you just tell them what you would like them to do, you'll have 100% more turnover. So you have a picture that you post, and if I tell them, hey, if you really like this, here's a great way to invite your friends. Why don't you click the share button and put this on your wall? And you will find you'll get 100 times more engagement that way. I think a lot of times we post stuff and just expect a miracle to happen. You know, we just hope and hope. But, you know, as a marketer, especially if you don't give them a direction, something, what do you want them to do with it? They just won't, not because they don't want to, just doesn't cross their mind. So those are some of the things we try to work on.
Now, you have a marketing background, so how much of that could you bring into the church context, and what did you have to make adjustments for?
You know, it's such a different animal. It's so different. Our target and our market is, first and foremost, completely local. So it would be like a regional market as opposed to a national market. And, you know, where you spend your money and how you spend your time is, I won't say it's irrelevant, but it's just completely different. And so our community and our conversation and the things that what we consider a success, you know, based on what we do, is so different from how I would have considered it before, because now I want to see not just the faces of the people who are talking to me online, but I want to go through the doors of the church and see them in the lobby. So I have like a kind of a tactical feel of the success rate based on how many people are interacting with me personally, because they all know me. Whereas before, you're looking at just click-throughs and dollar signs, and there's never a face to it. It just becomes so much more personal in this realm. But I love it. It makes it a lot of fun. I don't know if that answers your question.
That does, because there is a difference in how you market to the masses and to the church. And then you also described the second aspect of that is whether it's a broadly national or international audience versus a local or regional audience. And right. The thing is, with social media, it's such an open platform. It's a public square to the world. And so how do you constrain and target your communication to a locality? And secondly, how do you manage what you communicate to people who attend your church versus people who don't?
Awesome. I've tested Facebook ads a couple of times. Favorite. I think we could probably, in generality, as marketers agree that they're not as effective as Facebook seems to think that they are. You know, you can try to target down and you can try to drill down on a specific target, however you want to do that. But I found more than anything, our community, it's taken a few years for us to develop this, but we've just been very consistent in our word of mouth. And so when we launch a new campaign or a new series, we're very intentional in our word of mouth and what we want our people to do. And so when we start a new series or something important or a big event, Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day, fall kickoff, whatever, we always put something tangible in their hands, an invite card, something that's either cut out creatively. Our newest ones are in the shape of a surfboard right now. For 3D Christmas a couple of years ago, we did an augmented reality. So we did an invite card, an image on it that they could hold up to the camera and watch it be interactive. We like to give them something that they're excited to talk about and to show. So that's one of our first steps, because we know that if someone's going to take it online, it has to start offline. And I think that's where maybe a lot of people get it wrong, is they think that this online world is their magic diet pill, you know, so to speak, that will solve all their problems, when the problem is not whether or not you're online, it's whether or not your community buys into, loves what you do, and have you equipped them to take what their experience offline and bring it back. So we start there. We give them something, something that they can talk about, because let's be honest, if I'm online and I'm going to talk about a particular company, a business, a church, an experience, it can't be your average experience. I'm not going to go online and say, I just went to Applebee's and had an average experience. Thanks. Have a great day. I'm just not going to do that. But if it's over the top, I'm going to talk about it. So we like to give them a reason, something exciting for them, and kind of take away that barrier as best we can.
I think there's a song with that title. Let's give them something to talk about.
You're right. There is. That should be our theme song. Maybe that or the Cheers theme song. I'll take both. So that's one of the things we focus on. We try not to silo one from the other, because it just doesn't work that way. I think that if more people would kind of wrap their head around that and focus on the offline community first, the online will just happen if you start to engage them. I don't know if that's what you're looking for, but
no, I want to hear your story and how you think about it. And one of the things, as I've been talking with different church leaders and social media, is everybody does it in such a different way, and it has to fit their culture, and it has to fit their mission and their context and their strategy. So just to unpack and get a behind the scenes look at how you're thinking about it and how I'm putting pieces together is so valuable. And to summarize, at least what I'm hearing, is you start with offline and online, and you're weaving it together into a seamless experience, because people are experience your church offline and online, and you want to cultivate that relationship on the ground.
Well, and if you think about personally how you handle your own social networks, they are interwoven. Your offline experience is interwoven with your online experience, because that's what you're sharing. I'm not sharing a digital experience with someone. I'm sharing my life, and my life happens over here. So you have to be able to interweave them. And, you know, we find what people like and do what we can to amplify it. So instead of reinventing the wheel, you know, let's just understand that people love pictures. People love pictures of themselves. People love to feel valued and important for we always will. We were created to feel valued and important. And we are. But to let people know that, we give them certain opportunities. So silly things that we do, we're not about being silly, because we think life is fun. Church should be fun. And if you're going to bring someone who doesn't go to church, we want them to have fun. We will never compromise the truth, but we'll put layers around it that will help kind of break down barriers. So for the past few weeks, you know, we put what we would consider like a photo op opportunities in the lobby, similar to what you would find like at Disney World, you know, places where you can stop and take a picture. It looks like you're saying something, or you're standing on a surfboard or something. The latest one that we had was these giant heads of different celebrities. We put them on foam core and taped a backwards hat to the back of it so you could wear it. So you have this normal body and this giant head. And so we had this photo op place where it looked like the paparazzi were behind you and the red carpet, and you could literally get your picture taken with, this last weekend was Kim Kardashian and Justin Bieber, because it fit in with the series that we were doing. It was clearly not real because the head was ginormous. But things like that, that people walk by, do a double take, and then they laugh, and they're like, I have to get a picture. And that kind of stuff, it's our way of putting a tool in your hand to go share this somewhere else. So we're not trying to reinvent something. We just try to wrap our brain around something we think people will already share without us having to tell them to, because it's just that.
That's so cool. Love that.
I mean, that's that. When I say our strategy, you know, it always comes back to getting people on our campus, having them there, getting them through the doors. And so we leverage a lot of our campus for opportunities like that.
Talk to me about your Purple Christmas campaign. That caught my attention. I'm like, that's such an odd color to be using for Christmas, which is traditionally known as red and green or a bit of white.
Exactly. And, you know, it's so funny. We have a creative team that meets, and I'm blessed to be a part of that. There's a group of us that meet every week for a few hours, and we talk through all the different series that are coming up, different layers of creativity we can put around it. And before Christmas came, we started throwing out ideas. And Pastor David said, hey, everybody come with like three or four different ideas for a theme for Christmas. And none of us had any direction. We didn't know where we were coming from. So just stuff was just thrown out there, which can be some of the best meetings and creative wise, because it starts stirring so many thoughts. And this idea of Purple Christmas came up, and I believe it was Pastor David's idea. And all of us just kind of went, Purple Christmas? What is Purple Christmas? How do we even make that? And he began to share with us, because we have there's an orphanage in Haiti that we sponsor, a group of girls. And there's a music video out there. Is it Audio Adrenaline? I'd have to research it for the original artist. Clearly, I'm not in the music field. But there's a music video, and they go down to Haiti, and they're talking basically about being, as a child of the king, your royalty, and the color of royalty. So he's interweaving that, the whole concept of, you know, who Jesus was, and, you know, his birth and being royalty, and then us being adopted as sons and daughters, that we wear the color of purple. And that's, you know, that's what we celebrate, is the royalty of the king that we serve. And so our whole campaign, because we were all sworn to secrecy. Nobody could tell, those of us who were in the creative team, half of our staff didn't even know what Purple Christmas was. We just couldn't tell anyone. Was to create this buzz of, you know, what is this? And then there was a lot of people on staff who said, I don't want to know. Don't tell me, because when somebody asks me, I want to literally be able to say, I have no idea. You just have to come check it out. And we just had so much fun with it. It was, you know, we were using window chalk on people's cars, you know, in the parking lot with their permission. You know, they had these little 3x5 cards that said, tag my car purple, and if you put it in your dashboard to where I could see it, we would walk around and tag your car for you. So it said Purple Christmas at cbglades.com. And so there's cars everywhere. We had t-shirts everywhere. I mean, I dyed my hair purple. I had purple extensions. I had a purple dress for Christmas. I mean, it was purple insanity everywhere. And, you know, the community just, I could not walk out into our city with my Purple Christmas shirt on and not be stopped at some point during the day. Please tell me what Purple Christmas is. And I would have to say, I can't. And I'd give them an invite card, you know, and we had more success than I think we knew to expect for Christmas, as far as what we would consider success by numbers. But it truly was, when we had the Grinch come out, it was, his pictures are on, I have a picture of him on my Instagram, or probably on my Facebook too, but we went over and above. It's probably my favorite series that we've done. I've been here 6 years, and we did Christmas 1 year in an arena, and I still think Purple Christmas was better than that, in my opinion. Just the responsiveness of the community was so much fun.
That's great. And you are a church that's known for having fun. Now, in addition to just giving people tools for sharing and for them to have something to talk about, what aspects of social media do you intentionally work on to increase your relationships in community for your church?
We love using Facebook because we get great conversation. We get great questions. We get just, it's a great community for me to manage. We've leveraged it for several different things. We leveraged it at one point for a homecoming for some U.S. soldiers. We had one for every service, so I guess it was five that we flew in and surprised their families, you know. But we used Facebook to find them. You know, if you have a son or daughter in the military,
you know, this, that, and the other. And that video is on YouTube. It's like this whole Oprah cry moment. It's amazing. And I don't cry, but it's like, it's intense. So we leverage it for different things. And we can build community that way. We also build our community on, right now, Instagram is a big one for us. We used it this past weekend, actually during the service, for an interactive moment to do a giveaway for Mother's Day. So you were to take a picture of yourself and your mom in the service, Instagram it, hashtag it, CBG moms with @CBGlades. And then they were looking through them on the stage during announcements. They picked one and then they had the wire going and just hooked it right to the big screens. And the picture would had come up and they would come down and get their gift. But I think the biggest way that we build our community that way is I'm a big believer. If you're a brick and mortar, if you're a business, that's not just everywhere, but you've got a singular location and you need butts in the seats, that you need to be present on the weekend. So these people that I'm talking with online, they're figuring out that I'm running this account because it's in my job title. They're seeing me everywhere. You can't miss the bangs, and I'm also 6 feet tall. So it's like, and I rarely don't wear heels. I'm tough to miss. So I'll walk around the lobby and be sure to find these people. They'll say, hey, don't you run our page? Or, you know, don't you run the Facebook? And I'll be like, oh yeah, make sure to come see me. I'm going to be over at the photo area. Come say hi, let's meet. And then once you have that face-to-face, you just, I mean, it solidifies it. Just like the reason anybody goes to a conference these days. Content, yeah, but really just solidify relationships that you've made because it just makes it real. So I'm a big believer in being available to build those communities in person instead of just sitting behind your computer all the time. And I think that's a pretty key component, which makes it a little bit different, you know, in the church world, because not all people who are excellent at running a community online can also be a person that's just comfortable with it for whatever reason. They're more introverted. So you almost have to find that balance of someone who loves both. And I think you'd find, you know, your success rate as far as building your relationships just kind of it's a little bit more. That's what we do.
That's great to hear. Love the seamless integration that you're really fostering offline and online, and how they play into each other. They strengthen each other.
Right.
But your church also has an online campus. So what do you do with that? What are you trying to accomplish?
You know, and we've talked about this several times because, like I said, we're a lean staff, and we all wear a lot of hats. And because of that, we have to really scale down our priorities and where do we want to focus our energy and our time. And as of now, for as far as I can see, that will always come down to being in the big room, getting people on campus, being there. And so our focus and our energy will always be directed towards that first. What we found with our online community, we love that we can stream. I love it. I love that people in Alaska can check us out, you know, or in Africa or wherever people are at, they can see us. But what we found is most people just want to stay connected while they're traveling, while they're sick. They want their family to check it out to see, you know, what's going on in their life because this is what they're experiencing. And although we've had some good, you know, what I would consider sort of outreach, I really think more happens on campus. I think that people who move away and they can't find another church by the Glades, they'll watch online. And while we encourage them to go find a church home, go find somewhere local you can plug in. That's most important. But until then, don't disconnect completely. So we use it as that tool, but it's not our, I wouldn't say it's a super high primary focus for us, but we will use it. We do utilize it. We value it, but it wouldn't say it's top of the priority list as far as community wise.
As we wrap up, what other churches' use of social media inspire you?
You know, it's interesting because I don't come from, you know, I haven't always worked at a church. And so most of my knowledge, my inspiration comes from outside of that.
Oh, even so better. Okay. So what inspires you outside of the church world?
I'm
I make sure to build a community with people on Twitter who are outside of, you know, the church world. In fact, I'm not very well versed when it comes to who's involved on the church side of it. I'm learning, you know, who some different pastors are based on who we've brought in as speakers and who's running in the circles of Pastor David and things like that. Who's running their online communities? You know, I'm not super well versed with it, but I have friends who are who do marketing, who do social media marketing, who are now consulting, who are I've really been following you know, Amber Naslund online a lot. She's also with Matt Writings, so she would be Amber Cadabra on Twitter, and he would be Tech Gorilla. And they're starting, you know, they've just started a new company called Sedera Works, but it's all about socializing your business. Because I think that, you know, any successful procedures or, you know, processes that you find will always come down to a biblical method. It just will, because, you know, success is success and all good things come from God. That's what he says. And so, you know, most all good leadership principles and all of that stuff all comes back to where it all started anyways. So I don't really worry about whether I'm following a church person or an unchurched person, because I think that, you know, the things that work are the things that work. And so I've really been following them a lot lately, along with Jay Baer, watching where social is going. And what's interesting is that, you know, it started as this virtual water cooler where corporate executives could go and talk to other people in their industry and say, man, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. What are you doing to fix this? Because you can't go to your employees and say, oh man, I can't figure this out, when you're the CEO. And so it started as this platform for people to help each other, you know, and to really be useful in other people's lives. You know, it shifts to this whole, I'm going to spit all my marketing at you all day long. It just becomes white noise. Well, it's starting to take that shift back around again to becoming this helpful community of people who will love people and want to help people and want to be a positive resource for people. And this is coming from people who aren't churchgoers. And so I'm watching it spin back. And I think that that can only benefit what I do, because that's what I want to do anyways. So now if that's what people want and are expecting, we should be able to, I don't know that dominates the right word, but we should definitely be, you know, a force to be reckoned with when it comes to the online communities and who people are listening to, because we should be offering that just naturally. So I like to surround, you know, I like to try to keep a good balance. I follow people that I don't agree with. I follow people that I do agree with. And those I'm indifferent to, just to keep my thought processes balanced. I never want to fall too far one side or the other. I like to keep kind of a healthy response in how I deal with people.
That's great. We'll have to look at your follower list and just see who you're talking with and who you're following with. That'll be a good sign as well. You've mentioned Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. How about all these other networks? Do they have a place in your social media engagement? Pinterest, Google Plus, whatever else?
Google Plus, yes. There's so many tools. We know that social media has been around forever. It's just always been called something else. You know, there was always forums and email, and now we just have so many different tools. So while those tools will shift, I try, because my bandwidth is so small, because it's me, I have to be aware of which tools I think will be most effective for us. And whether it's my favorite or not, I have to figure out where my people live. And while there's some that live on Pinterest, you know, Vine is great, is huge with our teenage community. And, you know, Google Plus, of course, obviously. We have it. We don't have a huge community there, but I understand the relevancy, and I know that we need some Google juice, you know, for the search engines. And I understand all of that, why it exists and what they're trying to do with it. But, you know, I can't force my people there. But right now, our people are heavy in Facebook. They're heavy in Instagram. And our pastor loves Twitter.
And they're starting to really pick up on that. So I try to focus where I know that people are following him. Just kind of double our efforts.
Good. And here's the last question. You've alluded to it a number of times. You've got limited bandwidth. So where do you draw the limit? Because we all have a limited amount of time. And time is the biggest time sink when it comes to social media. It can eat up 24 hours easily.
It's true. So I'm careful with my notifications and my settings. Anytime Pastor David tweets, that I'll definitely get a text alert on. Or if somebody tweets from the church account, I'll get a text alert. Now, if I get a text alert on that, we might have an issue because I'm the only one that's supposed to be doing it. But I did have an intern that worked with me last summer and over the holidays, and she's amazing. So I would get notifications when she, you know, would tweet from the church. I try to limit it because I need to be aware of what's happening. I follow my Facebook notifications as carefully as I can. The thing that's great about having an organization that's social is that everybody is looking out. Everybody's aware. Everybody knows something negative is said. If somebody posts something crazy on our Facebook wall, you know, as far as monitoring all of this stuff. And what's great is that one, they're watching, but two, they know not to do anything about it. They've been instructed if somebody says something negative, you don't jump in, don't get the fires going, you know, let somebody know, you know, tell somebody. And so I'm the person that they tell. So sometimes, let's say if I'm, one time I was working out and it was, somebody had posted something negative on our Facebook wall and I didn't have my phone with me, during this workout, and I grabbed my phone afterwards and it had just blown up with text messages. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? What's going on? But the reality is we have a bunch of bulldogs on our team who love our pastor and they love the vision and they love our church. And so they just watch. And I think if your company and your church and your business is on top of that, you can scale back your bandwidth a little bit. Because although you're the one that's running point and you're the one who's tactical and having to be the one to go in and physically publish things and send out the emails and schedule stuff, you have a team that's aware and kind of watches with you. And I don't think there's any other way that I could do it if they weren't paying attention. I really don't. I do try to put my phone up at a certain time. One of the things that I'm learning for sure working at a church is that, you know, they talk about this whole work-life balance. You got to have the balance. And we found that it's not about balance for us. And I believe Ed Young was the one who was teaching us this, you know, it's about recognizing your seasons. So you have, you know, there's the ebb and flow, especially for us. So we have Christmas where we're up here and then we come down a little, we have Easter and we're up here and then Mother's Day and then down here for the summer and then we ramp up again for the fall. And so in the down times, you want to kind of lay low, you take vacation, you work less days, you know, and that takes strong leadership. You know, I couldn't do that without a solid, you know, our executive pastor who sets that tone for us. He's like, if you need a day, take a day. Don't burn out on me. That's all I care about. Don't burn out on me, you know? And so we're all able to kind of monitor our own time and schedules. Hence why I'm able to sit with you here today, because I, you know, we work all weekend. Half my team that I work with isn't there today on Mondays. So I can kind of work shift a little bit. So that's how I do it.
Great. Putting together teamwork and crowdsourcing. Love what you're doing. Thanks so much for connecting with us. It was a real joy to connect with you.
Man, thanks so much for having me. I had a blast.
All right. Thank you, Summer, for joining me here at the Social Media Church podcast. So cool to hear how you are using social media in such creative and energetic ways there at Church of the Glades. And you can connect with Summer on Twitter and Facebook, or add a comment at our website. The website is socialmediachurch.net. share this podcast with others who would be interested in learning about how churches can be affected with social media. That's what this conversation is all about. Again, the show notes are at socialmediachurch.net. And you can call in with your comments. The number to our listener hotline, again, is 9493-543216. And you can even text in your comments. It's a text-friendly number. The number again, 9493-543216. So, this concludes another episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. My name is DJ Chuang. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, we'll stay connected online.